إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about the new world order and the old world order. And as I mentioned yesterday, what is called the new world order is not new at all. It is the world order that has been in force and been enforced for the last 2000 years. And Islam came as an alternate world order right from the beginning, of course, but with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically, Islam came as an alternate world order. So if you look at the new world order, it is really Islam, not the world order that was established by Alexander and Caesar and what happened in the British Empire and what's now happening with the Americans. The order of the strongest takes it all and the weak are exploited is nothing new. And Islam came to change that. So when we look at the life of Rasulullah from the seerah, as I mentioned many times before, and you ask yourself this question and say, what is it that Rasulullah changed? Then what he changed was not anything material in the context of financial systems or manufacturing processes or agricultural theory. What he changed was standards. He changed the standards by which people assess themselves. Now, standards are important because all effort depends on the standard. Depending on what is your standard, you make the effort. So when he changed the standards. And he moved the standard from dunya to akhirah. And that's the reason why, looking at the world order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah said, verily the life of this world is only a deception. Now why is he saying it's a deception? Because it is an order which actually detracts from or diverts you from the real standard, which is the standard of the akhirah. So something that distracts you from the real standard, which means that by this distraction you are getting a loss instead of gain, is a matter of deception. And that's also why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. So if you see all of these ayats in the context of the new world order, they make eminent sense. How is all humankind in loss? Even though, if you look at this, these two ayahs, for example, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr, verily all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by he took an oath by the time, and he said that all human beings are in loss. Allah did not take an oath by time as in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The oath is time in a absolute sense, which means that all humankind until the end of time will always be in a state of loss, except those who change their standards. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Similarly, if you look at the ayat إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, this refers to حَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Until when? Until there is حَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. It's not restricted to any particular time or century or something. This refers to the life of this world as long as there is life in the world. So if you take both of these, then why is that loss? Because it is taking away from the akhirah. Somebody who gets distracted by this is losing out in the akhirah, and the akhirah is the real standard. Now this is what Rasulullah brought, and this is what he changed, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the Quran in another place, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, shall I show you a trade, O you believe, shall I show you a trade which will save you from a grievous punishment. So all of these and several others, all of these ayat point to this fact that the life of this world is a life of destruction. It's a life of destruction, deception, and it is not real. Now, however, the reason why we need all these reminders is because the life of the world looks real. Saying it is not real is fine. But if you ask somebody and say, you know, your car outside, is it real or not real? The money in your bank, is it real or not real? If the money is not real, then why is everyone getting hassled about demonetization? What is not real has been demonetized, so what is the problem? But we don't believe that. We believe it is very real. The gold and silver and property and this and that and whatever titles we have, and I know, I mean, I've lived enough in the corporate world to know how much of angst and how much of stress and how much of acidity gets created in the stomach because of a title that got changed from additional whatever, from assistant somebody to additional somebody to what. I mean, utter nonsense, absolute rubbish. But people get so hassled and, you know, their blood pressure goes up and so on because of some stupid title on some card. So the issue is, for people, these are real things. It's not unreal. All the wars in the world have been fought because people think it is real. Grabbing somebody's property, they consider this to be beneficial and it is real. So all of this is happening. But question is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it is not real. And this is what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he taught them that it is the life of the Akhirah which is real. This life of this dunya is not real. This life of this dunya is really to be used as a way of earning the Akhirah. The world is the mazraul Akhirah. It is the tilth, it is the fields, it is the agriculture for the Akhirah. It is not something in itself. In itself it has no value, it has no meaning. It is the thing for the Akhirah. So therefore, this is the standard that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed. And when he changed that standard, then the entire conception of society, the entire structure of society got changed. The people of Makkah who opposed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, perhaps they understood this better than anybody else. And that's why they opposed him, because they knew that it was not a simple matter of saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. It was not just making a statement or, you know, I changed my belief. No. If you change your belief, then your whole world was going to change. That is what they understood. And some of them, of course, accepted, but the ones who opposed, also they were not opposing out of ignorance. They were opposing because they truly understood what is the meaning of Islam. If you look at it, I really have to ask ourselves whether the understanding of Abu Jahl was better than my understanding. Because he opposed it because he didn't want to change his life. He said, I like my standard. This is what I want to live by. Whereas we think that just saying the kalima is good enough for us. Saying the kalima is not good enough for anybody. So in this case, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought a complete new order. And that new order changed their entire life. So their whole focus changed. They came to value justice. They established social justice, they established the dignity of human beings, they established a new order of social responsibility, charity became a very major issue, they started freeing slaves. Many times people criticize and say that why is it that Islam did not banish slavery? Now the issue is, did Islam banish one thing after other, or did Islam change the whole structure of society in such a way that really, if you want to be a Muslim, you cannot go and buy and sell slaves? I mean, it was the freedom, freeing of slaves was raised to such an extent. Ask why is it Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never owned slaves? Abu Bakr Siddiq never owned slaves. I mean, they had initially, but you know, they released them because the releasing was so much more beneficial. But in this world, we have got used to living in compartments. Islam said, life is holistic. What you do in one place affects something else. It is not something that you can do, you can live, you know, one way in the masjid and then go outside and lie and cheat and no, it doesn't matter, it doesn't work like that. Your whole life is holistic. Every part of life affects every other part of life. And that is the reason why Salah is the peak of the matter, because when we come and stand in Salah, we are correcting our niyyah, our basic intention of doing something. We say this is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not restricted to Salah. The whole of life is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we do it in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. We don't do Salah any way we like. There's a specific order. If you break the order, the Salah is gone. Which means what? Related back to life. To say, my whole life will be done according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final point of that is, how is this whole thing, how did we know this? Because this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my whole life will be according to the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the reminder that we are given every day at least 5 times. And for those who are praying more, nawafil and so on and so forth, may Allah bless, this comes even more. And that's the whole point. This whole point is not simply to come and stand there and recite some Quran and go away. The whole point is to consciously remind yourself of the whole purpose of Salah, which is to straighten our lives onto this new standard. And that is why the moment Islam was announced, the first thing that came was Salah. Salah is only and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing was made fard was Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the same thing to Musa alayhi salam. Innani an Allahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimi salata li zikri. As soon as you accept Islam, the first thing that becomes fard is Salah, because that is the framework. That is the quality standard. That is the framework. And like in any quality standard, you use that constantly and continuously to measure all your output. And so also the Salah measures all our output. So the standards that were changed, and that is why we have to ask ourselves, what do I stand for? That is what was changed. What do I stand for? Do I stand for personal aggrandizement, fulfillment of personal desires at the expense of everybody else? Me first? Or you say, do I stand for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? Which means that other people come first. This is the big mistake that people make. This is what Donald Trump won his election on, America first. It's completely stupid, because the only way America will become first, the only way I will become first or you will become first, is if you put others first. When you put others first, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you first. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah will raise your mention, Allah will raise your rank. That happens only if you work for the benefit of other people. It does not happen if you say, me first. Me first is the ultimate statement of selfishness and stupidity, which is what Donald Trump won his election on. Total, utterly stupid. Me first, America first. What do you mean America first? How can America be first? If the whole world goes to hell, America is going to stay? If the whole world dissolves in global warming, America will not be affected. There's absolute nonsense. But this is, unfortunately, since we live in a world of craziness, it's like living inside a lunatic asylum. Everything, every crazy thing starts making sense. So that's why we need to remind ourselves again and again in Islam that stupidity does not make sense because somebody is saying it. We come first and we will be first only when we put others first. And you will put others first if you put Allah first. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in fulfilling our desires. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in fulfilling the needs of other people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you first. But we don't become first by putting ourselves first. So that's the whole thing I remind myself and you. Let us ask ourselves this question and say, what do I stand for? Because that is what Islam came and changed. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ